So, guys, after the whistleblower was talking in Congress about the Twitter thing, it brought back to mind the Uber thing, and then lo and behold, there was another Uber thing.
I feel like I'm in a Dr. Seuss poem. There's thing one, thing two. What was, I didn't, you know, I saw that there was an Uber story, and being a person filled with breach fatigue, I didn't read it. So what's the deal?
This is a pretty big one, actually. The people at Uber who were taking a look at it said that it was, quote, total. In other words, their systems just got completely taken over.
Huh. For how long? For any purpose? For how long?
I believe they got names, addresses, ride times, member ID numbers, geolocation information.
Bad stuff. Like, it's stuff that could actually harm people in real life.
No, stuff that could harm you. And they did it by way of, wait for it, social engineering. But apparently,
they just tricked somebody.
They got somebody to give up their credentials, right, Travis?
Yeah, that's right. It was just, you know, it's a cliche to say the oldest trick in the book, but this is really
the oldest trick in the book.
Yeah, right. They've arrested the person that they think was responsible, and lo and behold, it's another teenager, I think in the UK, associated with Lapsus.
And remember, the original story on Lapsus was that it was a Latin American ransomware group. But yet, so far, the only people they've arrested of late and even before this are British teenagers. So how does that work?
Now, are these like Cumberland sausage, Scotch eggs, British teenagers? Or are they British teenagers who hail from South America?
I think they look like the cast of Harry Potter. Yeah.
No, I didn't mean, just to be clear, I was not talking ethnicity. I was talking sort of if they could be connected to Lapsus over there.
I mean, anything's possible, but they were arrested, all of them, I think, in the UK.
Yeah, and they've all been shockingly young. So
what are we calling young?
I believe 15, 16.
I think the earlier Lapsus arrests were somebody who was 16 and somebody that was 17, something like that. So, you know, right smack middle of teenage.
So they're not right smack in the middle of probably not going to jail forever, which is also good for them.
They could be working for GCHQ before you know it. So
yeah, that's what I was thinking. They're going to get, they won't get recruited to, well, actually, that's interesting. I was just going to say they won't get recruited to a Division I hacking team, but they probably might. They might end up somewhere good in cybersecurity.
Welcome to What the Hack, a show about hackers, scammers, and the people they go after. I'm Adam, cyber shocked.
I'm Bo, cyber monkey with his hand in a cookie jar in the shape of a fist, and I cannot get it out.
And I'm Travis, cyber tingly.
And today we're talking about a scam that hit a little too close to home.
So, Bo and Adam, you guys know I'm a bit of a privacy geek, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, totally. I really just don't like the idea that just about anyone can find you online, can find out where you live or your email address or your phone number or anything. I just think that entire idea is super creepy.
There's so much of my data already out there, but is there something that you can do?
Yeah, actually, you can use Delete Me. Delete Me is a service that pretty much does the heavy lifting for you, where they go to all the data brokers that they have on file. And just pull your data and delete it on a regular basis.
I use it. I like it. And they make it quick, easy, and safe to remove your personal data online.
Well, yeah, with these data brokers, they can accumulate huge amounts of your personally identifiable information. And if all that information gets into the hands of a bad actor, that opens you up to a lot of risk.
And if you act now, you can get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/WTH and use promo code WTH. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/WTH and enter promo code WTH at checkout.
That's joindeleteme.com/WTH, promo code
WTH, which stands for What the Hack. And we thank you for supporting Delete Me and What the Hack.
This spring, get out there, enjoy the weather, and recapture the magic of riding a bike with Electric E-Bike.
With an amazing variety of models built for riders of all abilities, it's never been easier to fall in love with riding again. Plus, every Electric E-Bike ships free and only requires quick, toolless assembly.
This is my first ever e-bike, and the experience has just been great. I was a little bit intimidated at first because I hadn't gone biking in a while, but the 500-watt motor that the Electric E-Bike comes with really gives you a nice little boost, especially if you're trying to go uphill or pick up some speed.
Data shows that e-bike riders take their bike out more often. That means you get more exercise, more exploration, and wait for it, fresh air.
And riding an e-bike isn't like, it's not cheating. It's just making it possible for you to be out there longer on each ride. And speaking of things going a little slower, you can finance an Electric E-Bike for as little as $49 a month.
Get into spring with Electric E-Bikes, the number one selling e-bikes in the nation. Get your adventure started at electricebikes.com. And please mention that What the Hack with Adam Levin sent you in the post-checkout survey.
That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Today we're talking with someone who needs absolutely no introduction because he introduces a lot. It's Bo. And Bo got hit by a scam. I mean, hit by a scam just recently.
Yeah, it was this weekend, as a matter of fact. So, all right, let's just hop to it. I went to Michigan to visit my daughter. It was parents' weekend, and do you know Michigan has a football team?
Hail to the victors valiant, hail to the conquering heroes, hail, hail to Michigan, the leaders and the best.
So Esther had never been to any sports event ever. I like a good sports event. So there were tickets were sold out. I freaked out. She thought she could get student tickets. She couldn't. So I went on SeatGeek and I did. I found two tickets at the 30 yard line, 32nd row. Great seats.
Is that how you got scammed?
No. So the tickets worked. they were fine. They were a little expensive, but they were fine.
That's a little different than our previous episode where we had Bill on who went for hockey tickets, but they weren't real.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a fear of mine because I had never purchased tickets that I had to, I could only download to the wallet on my iPhone, but it worked out and the tickets were good and the seats were great and the game was phenomenal. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm not quite sure how this happened, but I did drive. I drove from Connecticut to Michigan.
So did you get hit at a gas station?
So this was the thing. I remember putting my card in a couple of slots and it just stuck a little bit. Like I thought, you know how those slots sometimes will, especially at a bank, they just won't accept your card. It just, there's a hard stop and you can't get your card in because for whatever reason, it doesn't want it. I thought that was happening. So yes, I am glad I have transaction alerts on all of my major accounts because I sort of wonder about that. And actually, when I got home last night, there was a charge for $68 on Amazon. I called both of my kids. Did you do that? No. And it turned out that it was something I had ordered that was back ordered that finally dropped and I needed to get a grip because I was so worried about getting scammed.
So in other words, you took your own card over then for that one.
I scammed myself for Gordon Park's segregation story, which is more recently in print again. Here's the deal. I was totally late. Esther and I thought we could get there at like 11:30. And then at the last minute, someone was like, are you kidding? You got to get there 3 hours earlier at least. And so we couldn't find a parking spot. And do y'all know how it works for parking at the Big House?
Well, at the Big House, as I remember it, a lot of it had to do with people renting spots on lawns.
100%.
And driveways. And
yeah, and the closer you get, the more expensive it gets. So,
and if you drive into someone's house, you get a discount, actually, but that's all.
They have like a $20 lawn, a $30 lawn. When you get really close, it's a $60 lawn. And then when we were in there, Esther said, you know why the $60 lawns are so expensive? It's because they have to listen to games every Saturday. it was nuts inside. So I finally did give up on the people renting spots in their lawn. It just didn't seem like a good idea. I found a spot. I actually found a parking spot. It was a kiosk, and my credit card chip didn't work.
Was it just on one kiosk? Did you try it anywhere else? Or?
Well, so the deal is I was right there, and there was not probably another parking spot for 1,000 miles in any direction. So no, there was 110,000 people going to that game. There was no way I was leaving that spot to find another kiosk.
Right.
But it was like, I definitely had like that, I don't know what episode it was, but Abby.
Yeah, that was episode 50.
Yeah. Yeah, and someone drained her unemployment compensation benefits card.
So visions of that, I was freaking out. I downloaded a parking app. And if you've ever been at a big event, the bandwidth is very limited and the network sucks. And I could not, for the life of me, I did finally download the app, but I couldn't get my information into it. There was just too many people on it, and it kept saying no, 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 no. So I went to the website, got through immediately, parked. It was appreciated that I had parked it. I think it was $8.80, and I went to the game.
And he picks up a first down. All of the two, Littleton remains in the game at running back. They give it to him again.
Well, actually, one of my favorite football chants, because at Michigan, they got a lot of football chants, but when I was at my other school, and it was the first time that Stanford was on the verge of going to the Rose Bowl, I was part of the Council of Presidents, and we led a cheer, and the cheer was, imagine our elan, imagine our elation. We've been waiting for this game since the Truman administration.
Who the hell could say that?
We actually got people in the crowd to say it, but, we have kind of a weird crowd at Stanford, so it was like what we did.
So the way it worked at the Big House was a little simpler. They just had people with signs. One said go, and the other one said blue, and then they would hold up the sign that said go, and then everyone would say go.
Go.
And then they would hold up the sign that said blue, and everyone would say blue. And then they would just alternate. Yeah, it was pretty chill.
Here's Tagovailoa. Over the middle. It is intercepted. DJ Turner. Give me that.
I mean, it's a madhouse in there. And if my Wi-Fi, if I wasn't able to get a signal outside, for sure there was no signal inside.
Did they have the guy that like every time they scored a touchdown, did the push-ups for points?
No, or I didn't see him. I mean, no, maybe, I have no idea. But it was a total blast. And I didn't look at my phone once because it wasn't working, right? There was no signal there. 110,000 people all trying to go on Instagram at the same time. Not good for the network.
And who won?
It was a really good game. It was kind of nuts, back and forth. I was told Michigan was going to trash Maryland by you, Adam. And that was not the case. It was a tight game, and it was fun.
Well, then it's because later I read that the quarterback for Maryland happens to be the brother of the quarterback who came from Alabama that's now the quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. So
that's why it was a good game?
He had a spectacular game as quarterback.
And he has a good pedigree, is kind of what you're saying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He comes from one of those families.
One of those families.
It was phenomenal. And watching Esther, who had never been to a sports event, go from like, I cannot believe I'm here an hour early and there's no one here, dad, for real, hot dogs maybe, to jumping up and down and screaming and like high-fiving strangers, and it was the greatest. It was so fun to watch. And
there's nothing like a great college that has a great college football game.
Nope. She's totally hooked. And on my way back, she actually sent me a highlights reel of her favorite player. Like, she's hooked.
Who was her favorite player?
Corum. I can't think of his first name. I want to answer.
He's a running back, right? He had a heck of a game, over 200 yards. Spectacular.
And he is a little guy. He's 5'8". But what was so cool about this 5'8" running back is there were several plays where the whole line was on top of him and he still pushed him forward.
Yep.
He's a tough kid and he played really well. And Esther even was getting frustrated with the fact that they were playing him down the middle. And she said, "Dad, can't they see that they just have to play him around the side?" And so she was describing a bootleg. And I was like, yeah, I think they know what plays to play, Esther. But yeah, that'd be good. And then they took a timeout. They ran a bootleg. Corum scored on it.
Corum down the sideline. Blake Corum does it again.
Of course.
She was very proud.
And Esther was saying, "Why am I not an assistant coach at least?"
No, she showed me. She was like, "Dad, that coach makes $7 million a year." So.
No, and it's a great story. That's Jim Harbaugh. He was the coach of Stanford, took us from nothing to many bowl games. Then he became the coach of the San Francisco 49ers. And then he was hired for an insane amount of money by University of Michigan because for years we didn't win as many games as we should. And the alumni were very upset about it. And now he's at Michigan and he's done a heck of a job.
Well, I'm glad to hear that that is actually an insane amount of money. Okay, now let's get back to what happened because it's pretty much sucked.
That's why I said I was keeping you on the happy talk. The happy talk.
It's fine. I'm fine now.
How much coaches okay are now. Making as opposed to sad talk, which is how much someone might have gotten me for.
No, it's fine. I'm okay. I have very good protections in place. But so when we left, my phone blew up with messages. Like, not just like the usual. I have a few friends who sometimes can really blow up my phone. Like there were a lot of messages. No, it's even worse than that. And so here's the thing. The first three charges on my phone were from airlines for pretty expensive airline tickets, I would imagine. And then there was a message from Visa saying they suspected that my card had been compromised. My gut reaction was to just turn my phone off. I just got back from France and there was a lot of stuff I couldn't stream because I was in the wrong region. But using NordVPN, I was able to stream everything.
I use NordVPN too, but it's more to protect my private data, like bank details, passwords, and online identity. There are a million trackers online that are just sort of watching you. And NordVPN is a great way to get around those.
NordVPN can switch your virtual location, allowing you to save money by purchasing flights, hotels, subscriptions from other countries at a cheaper price.
If you're traveling and you're using public Wi-Fi, NordVPN can protect you wherever you are.
It's not just that. NordVPN also comes with threat protection, which helps protect you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites.
NordVPN is the fastest VPN in the world, and it'll only set you back the price of a cup of coffee a month.
To get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/WTHack.
And hey, there's no risk. It's a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Check the link in the podcast description. I don't know exactly what happened.
Well, did it have something to do with downloading the parking app?
I think it has to do with not the app, but the website.
Mm.
So when I went back on Esther's phone, because I was afraid to use my phone at this point.
Yes, now we're jeopardizing our child's phone. Let's go with that one.
I went to the site. And it was not secured. There was no SSL. There was no secure socket layer. It was not a secure site. The lock was not there. And it was really clearly a spoofed site for parking in Michigan. They get 110,000 fans there. It makes perfect sense that a hacker would be like, okay, I'm going to spoof a site because there's going to be people panicking about parking. And the apps fail regularly because of bandwidth issues. I think that's what happened.
There's been cases of that with the COVID-19 tracing apps in the early days of COVID, where you would go to a website and it would say, you know, to download the app to trace COVID cases in your area. And a lot of the time that just ended up being malware. I think Canadians got hit pretty hard by that one.
Yeah. So, I mean, what I like about what happened to me, if you can like what happened to me, was that there was a lot of pivot points in here that relate to stuff that we talk about. And I have transaction alerts, you know, and all the major credit reporting agencies, for me anyway, are frozen. And since our guest Chris Hutchins last week, I even froze the ones that I didn't know about. So,
good call. Yeah.
So I don't have any, there was no damage. But here's the deal. I want to show you guys something that I think has something to do with what happened to me. I just sent you both a link.
Yeah, I think you need a copy and paste.
Can you go to it?
Do it in private browsing mode if you can.
I'll let you guys do it and tell me what... just like.
I'm going to open it up in sandbox mode.
Tell me what happens.
Are you moving my mouse?
Who, me?
Yeah, what's going on here?
Can you see me typing right now? Yeah, that's
me. You have a moving mouse?
Well, that link I just sent you guys is perhaps the most illustrative of the problem we all face in cyber. You guys know me. You guys know me well enough that I can send you a link that you're going to click on. That's how a lot of people get hacked. Do you remember Axton Betts Hamilton?
Yep.
Yeah, but what are you doing in my... How do...
Well, no, Axton was, her identity was stolen by her mother.
Right, but I am worse than both of your mothers. I am your, like, best friends. So if I send you something and I want to get you, I gotcha.
You got me. But especially if you don't even know you want to get me, that someone else wants to use you to get me.
And by the way, Travis, really great acting job. Mm. I'm impressed. You made Viola Davis seem like a hack. I told Travis that I was going to send him this link before the show, and he knew what it was going to do. And we sent you this particular link because it's funny. Mm. Well, we're not going to say what it was for, but it was sort of gross and funny. I knew, and Travis, what did we say Adam was going to say? Look at the notes before I said, can you look at the link? Adam says, no way. Travis says, I can sandbox it. We knew before you said anything that that's the way that was going to roll.
Right.
You totally called it. Yep.
So go Adam. Forget Go Blue. Go Adam. Amazing job. Well done.
Hail to the victors, valiant. Hail to the conquering heroes. Hail to Michigan, the leaders and the best.
Yeah, and so what I think is interesting, the most interesting thing about the story is it pivots on all the known points in cybersecurity, all of the pitfalls, and the biggest one is being in a rush. And feeling like something is the end of the world and you gotta solve it, which in my case was getting to the game before the band went into the big house because we wanted to see it. So it was like threw all caution to the wind to get in there on time. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, if you're not really protected, if you're not careful, you're gonna get got and it's gonna hurt for more than like, it didn't hurt at all. It was like a minute for me. It's like fine.
Well, we always like to rhyme things. So it's like, if you can't wait, you're gonna become bait.
Oh.
Nice.
Nice. Yeah. We really kind of hit quite a few. I mean, even if you think about it, like, can you look at this link? The question itself was in episode 10 and kind of episode 12 when we talked to your friend Joyce, who got hacked via Mahjong, and Larry, who was like, I'm going to click this link. Who cares?
We love Larry.
Larry is awesome. So,
yeah, he's great.
So, but they're all just like, it's funny, like it's the greatest hits, but that's the way we get got. And it doesn't matter who you are. There's going to come a time, like for me, when you're trying to get into the big house and you've never been there before and you need parking, where you're going to make a mistake. And that's what hackers are looking for. They're just waiting for somebody to come along, you know, into their little spider web.
I mean, could this have been a pretty lo-fi scam?
This was a way lo-fi scam.
I mean, it wouldn't be too difficult to change the signs at public parking. I mean, a lot of them look like they're just printed by FedEx anyway.
But I feel like that's what hacking has become, Adam. It's like, you know, in the old movies when like the crook changes the sign, they're like, you know, the arrows one is like, this is the road to the bad town where you will be robbed. And this is the town to the good town where you won't be robbed. And they just switch the signs.
I've had that before. Sign switching. I've ended up in the wrong state, but you know, I get that.
Well, one thing that's sketched me out before about a lot of the parking meters, modern parking meters that tell you you can download an app, is that they direct you to them by way of a QR code. And it would be the easiest thing in the world just to say like, okay, this is a app provided by the city. If someone just puts a sticker over it, you're pretty much in their hands.
I hate when you do this. You just gave criminals advice. But that is true. And the other
Anything
thing is...
Anything we say is giving criminals advice.
Well, but here's the thing. What he just said also could have worked in this scam where you just, instead of it going to an app, it would just say, oh, the app is down right now. Please go through the website.
Well, Bo, not only that, but because you determined that the website was sketchy after you took a look at it, but the truth is there are a lot of websites that aren't sketchy that just become victimized by e-skimming. Which is where someone puts a malicious
code. Yeah, no, you don't even have to make a mistake. It's true. I mean, yeah. In my case, I think what I was trying to illustrate is like the mistake is a teachable moment because I was in a rush. And
right.
It's always like, you know, cooler heads prevail. But so however it is you get got, now we're on the other side of that. What's going to protect you? For me?
This is where you've gotten got, but you want to ungot the got that you got.
You want to not get hurt now that the rabid raccoon is in your living room. You want to not get hurt
behind the couch.
So, I have transaction alerts set up on all of my credit cards.
Good.
So the minute somebody makes a charge, I know it, and I never, ever, ever use my debit card for anything.
Ever.
That said, I do use it at ATMs, so I could still get got. I could still get hit by a skimmer scam. Skimmer
Correct.
Scam, skimmer scam, skimmer scam, skimmer. Anyway, so
I like that. Skimmer
I know
scam.
You love it when That's I. Good. I know you love it when I scam. Skimmer scam the scam song. But so that's one thing. The other thing I have going in my favor is that on my phone I have a SIM card PIN number, and I'm using a phone that has a physical SIM card. In the future, that's not going to be the case, and I'm not quite sure how we're going to navigate that. But right now, that's a protection that I can enjoy. And it makes my phone a safer haven than it would be otherwise.
So one of the ways to protect yourself against skimmer scams is to have a SIM PIN. This is very good. I like the way this is kind of flowing.
This is very SIM. Oh my gosh, let's see if we can keep going. And then the other thing that I have is I'd like to see you alliterate this, buddy. I have credit freezes at all the major credit reporting agencies.
Yeah, I can't do that one.
Yeah, I got nothing.
So that's it, though. And it really is. It sounds like a pain in the butt, but it's pretty simple to protect yourself.
No, and you have a fourth thing.
What's that?
Travis.
I didn't even call him. So that's the story for the week, and I like it. I hope that you liked it, and I hope that you will do all the stuff that I do so that when you get, is it a win or an if? When you get hacked.
When you get hacked. You're
it'll
absolutely
be totally
right.
Chill.
No, Bo, you did good. You did.
It'll be a bowl of matzo ball soup. Happy New Year.
And at this point, we do golf applause.
So, you know, the being rushed thing, that's what happened to Ivana Milicevic.
Yeah, when her Instagram account got hacked.
Right? Did she fall for the copyright scam?
Yeah, she got a DM and said that she was busy, had a lot going on, and that's how they got in.
Yeah, and she is, you know, she has a kid, a young child, and is for sure was busy, and also has, you know, a real work ethic and an ethic. And so when told she had a copyright issue, it bothered her. You know, and a lot of creatives, it's funny, that's a really smart ruse for creatives, because creatives take copyright really seriously.
Totally. So for the benefit of our listeners, that's where you get a notification that it looks like it's coming from Instagram, and they say to you that some of the content that you're using is in violation of copyright law, which is enough to make anyone's blood run cold, especially if they're in the content business.
Yep. All right, which brings us to our tinfoil swan.
Our paranoid takeaway that'll help keep you safe online.
This week, SSL. I am convinced there are people who do not know what SSL is. Travis, what is it and why does it matter?
The three of us being amongst.
No, I know. It's how I got scammed. That's so true. It's important.
SSL stands for Secure Socket Layer.
Uh-huh. That doesn't tell me anything.
Right. In plain English, what it does is it encrypts your connection between your device and a website or an email server. When you're transmitting anything on the web, if you don't see that little tiny padlock next to the URL, that means that your transmission is not being encrypted. So that means that someone could potentially intercept your credit card number or social security number, passwords, anything along those lines.
So the scammer, in my case, they could have gotten scammed by a man in the middle attack.
Yeah, exactly. Especially if they're on public
idiotic.
Wi-Fi. Yeah.
The problem, and now to not to make people more depressed, but that is my nature, is there have been instances that they've written up where people, bad guys, have gotten their hands on these security certificates, right, Travis? So
yeah, it's
true. Create websites that look like they have the padlock and have HTTPS.
Yeah, definitely. It's not a cure-all. But what it does mean, though, is if you want to do typo squatting and have like Google with three O's, you can still protect that with a certificate and you're still going to get hacked.
Wait, Google doesn't have three O's? Oops.
No.
No, we have articles about both of these things on adamlevin.com. But I do think it's very funny that the criminals didn't use a secure site, so they could have themselves leaked data to a third party who also used it.
Right.
And that there are criminals out there who are like not willing to share their data with anyone else. So they use an SSL.
The thing to keep in mind is that this is important enough for security that Google announced a few years back that they would give you worse search results if your website was not protected with SSL. Like, that's how important it is to them, just to make sure that your connection to the web in particular is encrypted.
Well, don't a lot of the browsers now indicate to you that, wait a minute, you may want to be careful
right.
with that website?
Yeah, in a lot of cases, you can get sort of the little pop-up just saying, like, your connection is not secure. We do not recommend you proceed with this.
Every time I try to do anything on an airplane, it reminds me of that.
Yeah, no, and it is just depressing, and you're all doomed.
But yeah, the takeaway here is just look for the little tiny padlock next to the URL, and that's a small piece of extra security that you can apply to your browsing habits.
And if it doesn't have the padlock,
back away.
So, Bo, where are you coming to us from today?
Where I always come from. I'm sitting in my chair in my little office. There are no bears this fall, none. But I did explode the plumbing to my pool again. But this time I learned how to fix it, so now I am an amateur plumber.
This is fabulous. Is it true that you've now created a wonderful sweatshirt for sale for What the Hack with a bear?
Okay. We don't have them yet. Because I'm doing business with a very small provider of said cotton products. But there's a dude who's making the plushest, most delicious hoodies you've ever seen with the WTH bear. It's the coziest bear in the world.
AKA.
Is it Kenneth?
Kenneth.
It might be Kenneth. I mean, I think it's Kenneth. But I'm calling it Cozy Bear.
I like Cozy Bear. Well, I mean, so far they've done nothing to me. They've tried to do stuff to us all, but not to me personally.
That you know of.
And that's why, Cozy Bear, if you're listening, I love you.
CrowdStrike discovered that a Russian hacking team called Cozy Bear first penetrated the DNC in the summer of 2015.
What the Hack with Adam Levin is a production of Loud Tree Media.
It's produced by Andrew Stephen, the man with two first names.
You can find us online at loudtreemedia.com and on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Adam K. Levin.